Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast, and our theme for the series, HR Game Changer, is called Applying Skills and Competencies to the World of Work. And today, we'll be focusing on learning and development. My name is Christine Lamotte, President of Perennial Talent. Our company helps remove bias and add objectivity to our clients' talent management processes. My guest today is Sabina Sulat. Sabina is an accomplished talent management HR professional. She spent the better part of the past two decades studying how organizations function and how people work. She has contributed to the work of so many organizations, including AstraZeneca as head of learning and development of their biologics group. She also worked for Care First, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and the U.S. federal government. I want to share this story with our listeners. Sabina recognized the impact COVID-19 have on the American worker, forcing millions of people, as you know, to lose their jobs in the wake of the pandemic. As a result, Sabina has written a book called Working, a book to help others navigate the path of being unemployed. Sabina now dedicates herself and her business to helping others rethink and rework being unemployed as an opportunity for growth and learning. I'm so happy to have you on our podcast, Sabina. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you, Christine. And I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, what purpose did you have in mind when you decided to write this book?
Yeah, as the pandemic was starting and you could already see that people were going to be out of work, I drew from my previous experience in this, and it's a very difficult time for anyone. It's lonely, it's disheartening, and no one teaches you how to go through it. And I thought that there was a need I could fill to help people use this period of, you know, what's supposed to be a bad time and maybe put a positive spin on it, to look at it as a time to regroup, reflect, build resilience, so that when they would go back into the workplace, they were strong, they were confident, and they could concentrate on just getting back to work and doing their jobs rather than focusing on any past trauma. I'm a firm believer that you really need to take any kind of tragedy and learn from it. And I thought this was the perfect opportunity to help people do that.
So timely, because there are so many people unemployed, not just in the United States, but in Canada as well. And I think you and I talked about this before. You know, right now in Canada, we have 200,000 women unemployed in this country because of COVID. So your book has come at an appropriate time. So I can't wait to see you promote this book. And I know that you'll be doing this soon.
Absolutely. I'm hoping to launch at the beginning of May. And it's the kind of book that you hope no one ever needs, but if they need it, they have it. So I consider myself to be in a very privileged role to help people.
Great. Because, you know, it's a good segue into my next question to you, because, you know, COVID has really made us rethink, relearn, and the world of learning and development has changed. And because this is your area of expertise, how do you see that? How has that world of learning and development changed?
Yeah, thank you. And I think this has been, to be honest, the time of HR and learning and development. I was thinking about this this morning, and one thing that has really set with me is organizations, leadership often look at HR and learning as and development as this compliance must-have piece. In this past year, those two groups have just truly stepped up. We have been the groups that leadership has turned to in times of crisis to come up with ways to just do everything differently. We've helped leaders and organizations continue to function under a very difficult time. We've come up with new ways to learn, new ways to do recruiting, orientation. It's also not just the day-to-day, but the special things that have come as a result of staying at home, working remotely. Everybody I know has done a Zoom training or how to have these remote meetings with teams all across the globe, across the country. And I hope that leadership and my HR and L&D colleagues come out of this realizing that not only do we do an amazing job in a crisis, but think of what we can do if we are given the time and the money to do the job that we need to do. I think we could just take organizations even further.
I so agree. And you, your creativity has been tested. The speed of response is amazing. When I see all these great solutions that have come out, you know, to be able to continue in providing learning and development opportunities to leaders and employees alike. So yes, it's been testing, but you as surely your group learning and development have really risen, you know, to that challenge. So what is the biggest need or greatest changes that you've seen, you know, when it comes to learning and development? Are there any areas or roles where this is especially salient?
I think it's the way we teach and the way we learn. In learning, there's something used to be called 10-20-70. And what that meant was 10% of your learning happened in the classroom, on an online course. 20% is reinforcing that learning with coaching. But 70% happens, we call it the sticky factor. It happens when you actually apply your learning. And we've seen that work extremely well over the past year because of the things that we've taught, the way that we've learned. It's required this constant coaching and application. I want us to continue with that because that's the way people actually learn. It's not attending a classroom training or going on to an online course. It's that application and then a manager, a leader coming back and reinforcing that learning. To me, I think that's the biggest change, that suddenly now other people outside of L&D get it. And I'm so happy, and I hope we continue with that.
Yes, because it's by, yes, you need a roadmap, you need the steps, but it's like, you need to be doing it. You need to have that feedback, as you say, that's so critical. And then do it again. I mean, before, you know, we could do this without thinking about it. And especially leaders, have you find that challenging for leaders because of the kinds of new things they might have had to learn because employees, you know, working from home?
I think initially there was a lot of concern and maybe even a little bit of fear of how do we do this? How do I reach my team? How do I teach my team? How do I make sure they're doing what they need to do? And I will say that the leaders who've stepped up are the ones who've been a little vulnerable and admitted, I don't know how to do this. And no one can know everything. And leaders often think, oh, I'm the leader, I have to know everything. But your employees need to see that vulnerability because then it makes it okay for them to be vulnerable. And I think this whole year has been an exercise in seeing the humanity in people. We know what everyone's living room looks like. We know what their pets look like. We've all bonded together in a bit of a crisis. And leadership isn't immune to that. And we realize that we all are facing kind of the same challenge from different levels. And it's only together that we're able to do that. Learning is kind of that glue that's holding it together. We all learned how to, if you will, pandemic together. It wasn't done in tiers like corporate initiatives usually are. Mm-hmm. Everyone started at the same place at the same time and had to have the same outcomes. I think it was a great bonding experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, hadn't thought about that, but you're right in terms of humanizing leadership, you know, those, because it was new to everyone. We were all, like you said, at the same level. So we've all had to learn together.
Yeah, I think everyone surprised themselves with the amount of agility and flexibility they had. Mm-hmm. People who just never thought of themselves as technical were figuring out how to do backgrounds on Zoom and add sound to their PowerPoints because they had this kind of a bit, they started to learn little bits and pieces and built from that. And they saw other people doing it. They asked each other tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. And then what also helped is that that humanizing factor. We all started to look at each other differently, like, you know, oh, there's Bob in accounting who's got three kids at home. How can I help him? And, you know, there's someone else and that's great. They have cats. I have cats. I love cats. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got this kind of empathy for each other mm-hmm. that, again, just continues to bond us. And I hope we continue with that. I really do.
That's been the positive. You're right. So what other skills or competencies do you feel are most important right now for you know, a successful organization or individual performance?
That's a great question. I think probably one of the best skills that people can develop for themselves is that skill of introspection, self-reflection. There was a lot of autonomy this past year. You had to learn a lot of things on your own because you couldn't yell across a cubicle or walk to another office. And you kind of learned all of these workarounds. And we started to see that development for individuals is so important, but that we need to take ownership of that. And that comes from reflecting in and thinking about, what do I need to do my job well? What's the next step I maybe want to take in my career? And I think we've, in a good way, kind of cut some apron strings. We're not looking for work now to tell us what to develop. We want that feedback. But now we're taking ownership of our lives and our careers. And we're saying, wait a minute, I think I want to lead other people. Mm-hmm. Let me see what's available on LinkedIn Learning or what book I can read that will help me develop that. So I think it's that kind of resilience, that introspection, that ownership. And that has to come from within, but it also has to be encouraged by the organization. I think that's one of the other things I want us to take out of the past year is not go back, but continue to kind of own who we are and who we become.
Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting skill. A lot of people have commented, you know, on things too, like mastering, you know, the art of employee engagement during that. Mm-hmm. And there's so many doing these podcasts that I've learned, you know, skills that I hadn't thought about that now people are really focusing on for employees. So how, and leaders, but so how can an organization do, or what can they do to make sure that they support the learning and career growth of their people, especially during these, you know, challenging times?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I speak for the majority of my colleagues in learning and development, where I say, thank you for asking it. We've been waiting for someone to ask this for ages. And learning and development in an organization will never be successful unless leadership supports it. One of the best ways leaders can do this is give the time and the opportunity for people to learn. You've already seen the benefits of it. And I don't just mean the people who sit at their desks with a laptop in front of them, particularly frontline workers. they're rarely given the opportunity to develop beyond the tasks of their job. That means they don't get the opportunity to advance. If organizations make developing their teams a priority, they will retain their employees. One of my favorite statistics is it can cost 3 to 10 times someone's salary to replace them. And one of the number one reasons people leave a job is because they're not given the opportunity to advance and develop. Mm-hmm. If you give them that opportunity, they're going to take their internal knowledge to the next job in your organization. So that's why it's important that you give them this opportunity. It's going to cost you less in the long run to train someone at, say, an entry level than to completely replace them. And then you have this culture of learning and development and loyalty and growth that really does help productivity. To me, it's this constant win-win. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the best things leaders can do, is to cultivate and actually foster this culture of learning and development.
Great answer. And it's true. I've seen that in so many organizations to be when, let's say, there's a budget, you know, cutback. Often the first budget to be hit in an organization is learning and development and training.
Yes.
And how can you say to your people that you are our number one resource when, you know, you're not investing in them? Learning is not an aside or a luxury, like you said. It is critical. And people need to know, like, in those next steps in my career, will you be there to support me? What are those skills that I need? And what kind of learning and experience, you know, can get me?
Absolutely, Christine. And just keep in mind that the incoming workforce are, you know, our millennials and Gen Zers.
Yeah.
They're going to be the majority of our workforce. And this is a population that demands learning and development. Mm-hmm. And this is also a population that does not hesitate to leave a job. They actually think it's almost part of their career to experience as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to a lot of expense to an organization. If you don't retain that talent, they're usually very hard workers. They're very inquisitive and innovative. These are traits you want in employees. You can't train on these things. So you want to retain them. So offering them these opportunities, I think that's going to be an expectation, if not a demand, as we move forward.
Absolutely. I think this question was asked to me by candidates when I was interviewing for positions. What is the career path within your organization? How long will it take me to get there? They want to know. They want to see that defined. They want to know the skills and the opportunities provided. You're absolutely right, Sabina. That is a real expectation. I've seen it, and it continues to be so. Absolutely. So what do you think are the future threats or pain points if organizations don't take the time to clearly define the skills needed, you know, for success and to help people develop these? A lot of organizations don't have competency profiles or paths like that. So what happens if we don't take the time to do that?
I think you just alluded to it in your prior comments. And this is where I think there is this perfect marriage of what do your employees want and need and what's best for the organization. You're right. You have to have those clear career paths for your employees. And you need to make sure that you offer them the development in the skills necessary for those paths, for that progression that also meets your organizational's goals and strategy, and short and long term. This is where I think L&D and even organizational development can really bolster an organization's vision and mission, is by being strategic, determining, you know, where do we want to be? How are we going to get there? What are the skills needed?
what jobs need those skills, and then how do we offer that learning and development to our employees? And also, how do we measure individuals' progress and abilities in these areas so that everything comes together in this perfect storm of, I look at people almost in the, on these like actual literal paths of going upward and onward, but being given all the tools they need for success. You asked, you know, what's the danger if that doesn't happen? I think we see that where organizations probably won't survive because they won't be able to cultivate top talent or retain them. They won't be able to attract those individuals. I think people are starting to be a little pickier as to where they work. Another kind of offset of the pandemic is you no longer have to work in your backyard. You can work across the globe now with remote workers. And therefore, people are casting a much wider net, and they're being very picky about where they cast that net, where they apply for jobs. It has to be attractive to the worker, or they will not even knock on your door.
And who can blame them, you know? And you're right. I've heard that said as well, Sabina, by a lot of our podcast guests. Retention is critical. And when this will end, because it will end. Yes, I'm seeing now a lot of organizations are staffing right now. And so there are a lot of opportunities out there as well. And some pools are very, very small, like in cyber, for example. Everybody's looking after, you know, for the same talent. So who am I going to choose as an employer? Yeah, those are the kinds of things you just mentioned that they'll be looking for. Career paths, opportunities, development.
We've kind of switched to this. There's been like a little paradigm shift, a power shift, where employees really are owning their careers. They're starting to own the process. And I've noticed now recruiters are even changing how they approach clients and candidates. And they're having to do the sell. And they're having to give good, valid reasons why you should come work at their organization. And it's kind of nice because people are not only taking ownership of their careers, but also accountability.
Yes. And I think that's good. Like you say, that's an excellent thing, because in the end, it's all about my level of satisfaction and happiness, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So Sabina, do you have any advice for other HR professionals who are looking, you know, to make their learning and career development process more effective?
Yeah, there are a few things. I think some good, I'm very much about the lessons learned meetings and conversations. I do this after every project, every learning program, sometimes after every class where you, you know, what went well, what could we do better next time? I think having one, starting those conversations now, but continuing them till we get back to whenever we declare we're back to normal is a good thing. But I think also because of that career ownership of individuals that we talked about, HR and L&D folks need to talk to employees to find out what they want. I've very often seen it either given by leadership of, oh, these are the skills we need, or you kind of assume that there are things that employees want and need, but you don't have that sometimes difficult conversation with them. And this is where your learning and development skill set comes in, of doing a strict needs analysis, deciding what metrics are going to show that we were successful. What are we trying to change on the kind of on the scale? What metric are we trying to move? And then making sure that the learning and development that's created or offered will help move that kind of meter. And constantly you have to go back and reevaluate. So it's almost this hardcore basics of learning and development. I think instructional designers all over the world would get really happy about this idea. It's what they do. Mm-hmm. But kind of in partnership with other folks in learning, I think we have a major opportunity here to, getting back to the title here, to change the game, mm-hmm. and for the better.
Mm-hmm. You are so right. I wish we had more time, Sabina, but I want to thank you for sharing your great insights on really not just the new realities of work, but the new realities or the importance of learning and development during these challenging times. Thank you, Sabina.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed the conversation.